And you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. And we welcome a new swathe of listeners that maybe have a little bit more free time in the mornings with schools being off or whatever it might be. It's great to have you all on board and to make sure specifically, particularly, that you get involved in the conversation. We're seeing people who, and we welcome people who text in all the time. Don't get me wrong. But it's nice to see new people texting in every day as well. So thank you very much for that and welcome aboard if you don't regularly listen to the programme. Caller says, Greg, I'm with Dave Fanning. He told the truth, and this is the problem in Ireland, speaking the truth and you're shut down. Show me anything in his interview which was untrue, maybe unkind in certain people's mind, but it was all factual. Listen, we're not, no one's the thought police. He's perfectly entitled to his opinion and his assessment. And I'm, you know, I hold controversial views as well, but I would hope I know that there is a time and a place for them. And if you're invited onto a radio show in the aftermath of someone's passing on, you know, the state broadcaster, you know, a big show to pay tribute to someone, if you don't have something nice to say, just say, look, you know, I have plenty to say on that. I'll say it a different time. That's all I'm saying. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Unpopular opinions, controversial opinions, opinions that go against the narrative. It's great that people have those opinions. I simply would be of the view that he should have just said, I'm not available. That's all. No, he's perfectly entitled to his views. Can I please have a message in about the two zebra crossings in Stranorlar following the roadworks in the last few weeks? The crossings have been left only halfway across the road, causing a lot of confusion. This morning I saw a young girl walk onto the crossing only to be met by a large lorry driver who didn't stop. Something needs done urgently to address the issue from a concerned driver. I get you. I know exactly what you're on about. It's particularly up in the Stranorlar area, isn't it? The lads and lassies did a great job in terms of getting those roadworks done. But whoever is responsible for relaying those zebra crossings really need to do so. They're difficult enough to get your head around, but they only currently go halfway across the road. And if you're starting from the right as you head to Donegal Town, you've got a zebra crossing. It's not actually a zebra crossing, but anyway, a pedestrian crossing. And then halfway across the road, it ceases. So I think there's already a great deal of uncertainty, as I said. So the sooner we get that sorted, the better. Why should we pay TV licence, says this listener, when our county team is not on TV and the GEA money grabbers getting our money? It's wild that not on TV. Thank God for Highland, but I have TV on volume down. Put it on TV, GEA, please. All matches should be free to watch. Indeed, that's the Donegal game was on GEA Go. And the game against Clare, I think it wasn't on any platform whatsoever at all. Some people were happy to see it on GEA Go. Others believe it should have been on the main channels. I think we put enough into that sport to be able to watch it freely. 20 million direct taxation. You can't even buy a ticket at the gate. I still can't believe that the public have laid down and accepted that it's advance bookings only. I think it's terrible. But people huff and puff and then they just comply. But you should be able to turn up at a game and buy a ticket, I think. But you can't. Can you? You can't. It's advance tickets only. But we just accept it. I don't accept it. I simply wouldn't go. Prevention of hay fever. Take 3,000 IU vitamin D spray daily, probiotics and bromelain, which is found in pineapple. Greg, would GPs not be aware of what drugs are in short supply and know to prescribe alternatives? Well, I see it depends from pharmacy to pharmacy. You know, you could have three pharmacies in a town. One happens to have a good supply of one drug, another not. So I don't think the GPs could get that forensic on it because they're busy enough as is. So I would say no, because as I say, you know, you could get one pharmacy that has it in, one that doesn't. Hi there, regarding hay fever, I suffer very badly from allergies and hay fever, as do many members of my family. My little five-month-old baby is showing signs of allergies at the minute. Also, any recommendations for him? I'd prefer something more natural. Oh, it's difficult, isn't it? Especially with the young baby, if they're starting to show some symptoms of hay fever. I mean, obviously, in the first instance, contact the GP or your pharmacy, but maybe some listeners out there have found something that works for them. So it's hay fever and allergies are through the family. Wee five-month-old is showing signs of allergies. Any recommendations to ease it a little bit for them? Back to insurance. My insurance went from €349 last year. Now, put down your cornflakes. It went up to €1,052 this year. That was with Bank of Ireland. I shopped around and I got it for €460. The Bank of Ireland explanation was the price of materials for rebuild went up by 300%. Yeah, I get that, right? But 349 to 1052. I'm reading that terribly, but you know what I mean. But anyway, they shopped around. They still had an increase, but much less. It went from 349 to 460. Thumbs up for shopping around. Liberty Insurance have a ready reckoner on site, which gives you a guide to rebuilding cost per square meter. They recommend you measure the perimeter of your house, and having got the area, you multiply by building cost per meter to ascertain insured amount. If you're underinsured, your claim will be deducted accordingly, even for a contents claim. Interesting. Let me see. A couple here before we take a break on the dilemma our listener had. A Catholic woman getting married to an atheist man. He doesn't want to get married in a church. It's important to her. This girl says, sorry, this person says, that girl should run. Tell her if he loved her, he would bend backwards and marry her on top of the hill just to please her. I'm kind of in that camp a little bit. It's an hour. I mean, he's not going to burst into flames, is he? You know, he's an hour. Go in, do it. You know, act it out. I mean, there's plenty of acting you have to do in a long-term relationship. Just do it for an hour. I don't see what difference it should make to him. This caller says, we got married 47 years ago. My husband was a Catholic and I was a Protestant. No priest would marry us in Donegal because I wasn't allowed in the chapel. We had to go to Dublin. How things have changed, and thankfully all for the better. So my advice to that couple is go ahead with your marriage and it will all work out. 47 years later, we're still happily married and still have our own beliefs. Okay, lovely to hear. I was chatting to someone not so long ago and I thought it was quite interesting. And it's the first time I had heard a part of a couple sort of say this for themselves in general chit-chat conversation. We were talking about they're planning the marriage, and I says, where are you going to get married? You know, what chapel or church? Not sure of the religion, it's irrelevant. And they said, well, we're going to do it all in the hotel. And I says, all right, okay, that's interesting. More people are doing that. You know the way the conversation flows. And I says, and I think I says, why? And they said, because they don't attend Mass regularly. And they themselves didn't think it was fair, as non-regular churchgoers, even though they are somewhat religious, they didn't think it fair. They themselves didn't think it was fair, and that was the word that they used, to get married in the chapel. And instead, they were opting for the whole wedding in the one venue, which was the first time kind of really I'd heard people sort of saying that's why they were doing it for that reason, if you know what I mean. But anyway, maybe that's the way things are going. Okay, it is Tuesday, the 20th of June, 2023. We're joined in studio now for Community Guard information by Garda Grainne Doherty from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Good morning to you, Grainne. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
And it was, of course, a busy weekend operationally for the Gardaí with the rally. We'll talk about that a little later on. But we'll get things underway with some appeals for information. And we'll start with a road traffic collision just outside Donegal Town, Grainne.
Yeah, so Gardaí are appealing for information in relation to this. It's a serious road traffic collision. Happened at Tully Gallen, Donegal Town, at approximately 3:30 on Friday the 16th of June. This collision involved a car and a Garda motorcycle. So the male Garda motorcyclist, aged in his 40s, was removed from the scene. He was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive treatment for serious injuries. No other injuries were reported. A technical examination of the scene was completed by the Garda Forensic Collision Investigators, and Gardaí are now appealing to anybody who may have witnessed the collision to come forward. Any road users, as usual, we always appeal for dash cam footage. So if anybody was in that area with a dash cam, they're asked to make this footage available to Gardaí. So they can anybody with information can contact Gardaí in Donegal Town on 074 974 0190, Ballyshannon Station on 071 985 8530, or the Garda Confidential line, as always, either 1800 666 111. And I would just like to say as well, I know I was speaking to guards from other stations also, and we were approached over the weekend by numerous young people, more young people especially, but young and old, asking and inquiring about the guard that was injured and to asking us to pass their best wishes on to him. So we have done, and we appreciate all their good wishes. You know,
okay.
It's hopeful that he will make a good recovery.
Okay, hopefully a full and speedy recovery. And there probably was lots of people around there, maybe went through the scene or what have you, and you're just looking for them to get in contact. Okay.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Right, now, Gardaí investigating a burglary in Burnfoot.
Yeah, this burglary happened at Maharabeg, Burnfoot, on Monday the 12th of June, in and around 1:20 a.m. Two males entered a shed at a house in that area. They stole two racer bikes from it. The shed had been unlocked, so no damage was caused to the shed. One of the bikes is a Merida racer bike. This is white in colour with lime green writing. The second bike is a Cube racer bike. It's described as being white, blue and black in colour. Quite expensive bikes, I believe, these types of bikes, yeah. So if anybody observed any suspicious activity in that area on that date, we asked them to contact the guards in Bunkrana on 932-0540. And of course, as always, should anybody come across these types of bikes for sale on a second-hand basis, then please alert Gardaí immediately.
Okay, now another important appeal, this as it relates to a daylight, effectively, assault in the Ballybofey area.
Yeah, this assault happened in the town, in Ballybofey town, on Tuesday the 13th, in around 7 p.m. So a 17-year-old girl, she was walking with her friend in the laneway between, it's known as the McElhinney's car park there on the main street in Ballybofey. So there's a laneway down the side of that car park, which brings you onto the Chestnut Road. So it happened in that laneway. So this female, walking with her friend, she was approached by a group of females. One of these girls proceeded to assault her. This girl then had to attend Letterkenny University Hospital to receive treatment for injuries, none of which, thankfully, are believed to be life-threatening in nature. So we're appealing to anybody who was in the area of the McElhinney's car park there, or if they travelled along the main street in Ballybofey or the Chestnut Road and had a dash cam, we're asking them to make that footage available to us. This group of females were believed to have been hanging around in the car park area, along the shops there in the car park area, shortly before the incident happened and afterwards. So if anybody seen them there and can offer a good description of them or dash cam footage, they're asked to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167100.
Yeah, we don't want to see any more of these instances. No. Very distressing, because obviously, you know, the official line is that the girl had to be taken to Letterkenny University Hospital. Thankfully, her injuries aren't life-threatening, but it doesn't tell the full story either, Gron. You know, we don't know the individual nature of that, but can you imagine the stress and anxiety for her and her family as well? So the sooner that's sorted, the better.
Of course, yeah. There's a mental trauma associated also, as well as physical injuries. I mean, you know, the suffering involved also, and maybe the fear then maybe of walking, you know, that route or another route alone or with a friend again. So we're very eager to get to the bottom of this one, and we'd appreciate any information we can get.
It would be a nightmare for it to happen to any of our children. Okay. Right, now, criminal damage in Letterkenny next.
Yeah, this incident happened in the area of St Eunan's Court. It happened on Friday the 16th of June, just Friday past. So CCTV has been viewed. A man who was wearing a face mask, he can be seen approaching a house at St Eunan's Court shortly after 11:40 a.m, so broad daylight again, and he smashed the glass in the front door, left the area on foot. So we're hopeful somebody may have seen this male in that area on foot. If, again, as always, if anybody was in that area with a dash cam, that would be extremely useful to us if they could drop the footage into us in Letterkenny Station. If anybody has any information at all that can help us with this one, we ask them to contact us on 9167100.
Okay, criminal damage being investigated in Ballymacool.
Yeah, so this incident happened just out at the car park there of the Aura Leisure Centre in the early hours of Friday, just Friday again past. So this happened in around 4:30 a.m, the early hours of Friday morning. Two males, they smashed the front and side windows of a camper van that had been parked up at that location. They are believed then to have left the area in a black Volkswagen Golf, and this black Golf had L plates attached to it. So we're seeking dash cam footage from anybody who travelled out along that stretch of road in the Salad Grain, Ballymacool, out along out past the Aura Leisure Centre at that time on Friday morning. If they had a dash cam, we'd like to receive the footage from it. If anybody, again, has any relevant information, we ask them to contact us in Letterkenny on 9167100.
Yeah, good bit of information for the public to go on there. Senseless. Crazy. Okay. Now, Port Salon next. Criminal damage being investigated there.
Yeah, this happened in the area of the Gardens, Port Salon, between 4 p.m. on Friday the 16th of June and 2 p.m. on Monday the 19th of June. Damage was caused to a house in that area of the Gardens, Port Salon. The back door window panel of the property was smashed. The side patio door was smashed also. So no entry was gained, and it's not believed that any attempt was made to gain entry to the property. So residents in that area particularly, and we're appealing to everybody who may have travelled in that area, if they observed any suspicious activity or if they have any relevant information, to contact the Gardaí in Milford on 915-3060.
All right, okay. Now, last, it's a triple theft situation. We'll start in Letterkenny, a theft from a vehicle there, Grainne.
Yeah, quite an unusual one, this one. Yeah, this man contacted the Gardaí to say that it's in relation to the theft of a phone from a car, the incident. So this man, on Saturday the 17th of June, between 1:15am and 1:25am on Saturday morning, this man had driven down the De Valera Road. He had a black Volkswagen Jetta. He had turned right just over past the Oatfield factory there, heading in the direction of the station roundabout. So he was in the far left, the inside lane, travelling towards the roundabout. And when he reached the pedestrian lights just before the roundabout, there was a man standing in the middle of the road. So this man was described as being approximately 6 foot tall, of a slim build, with strawberry blonde coloured hair, and he was wearing a check shirt, blue jeans and possibly brown shoes. This man proceeded to jumped into the passenger side of this man's car. And another man who had been standing at the railings just on the left hand side along the footpath, he was described as being 5 foot 9 inches in height, of a heavy build. He was wearing all black, black T-shirt and black jeans. He then jumped into the back seat of the car. So they asked the man, the driver of the car, to leave them to a local hotel in the town, and they were very persistent. And I suppose being alone in the car with them, you know, he agreed, reluctantly he agreed to bring them to this hotel.
What do you do in the moment, yeah?
Yeah, so he dropped them at the hotel, and a few minutes after they exited the car, he realised that his silver iPhone 11 Pro had been stolen from the car. So we're appealing to anybody who may have observed these two men on the footpath or on the road at that location, just over by the Oatfield factory as you approach the station roundabout. You know, we're aware a lot of the taxi ranks there, quite close to that location, and there's a lot of taxi men pulling there, and a lot of those have dash cams. So hopefully some of those drivers may have dash cams.
And they may have approached
them
and saying, we don't even want to do this, that and that. So there's definitely information out there, Grainne.
Exactly, yes. And even if anybody's seen these men, seen this man in the middle of the road or this other man standing on the footpath and can give us any information in relation to it, we're anxious to get to the bottom of it, please make contact with Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167 100. And again, if anybody comes across this silver iPhone 11 Pro, one of those for sale on a second hand basis, and phone shops particularly, maybe, you know, local phone shops where you can trade in phones and things like that, we ask them just to keep it in mind also.
Or if someone brings in a phone that matches this description, seeking it to be unlocked, for an example.
Exactly, yeah.
Because it may well be on a random enough network. Okay, those are all good lines. Hopefully something comes from that, because that's distressing. That's a distressful situation. And I can't believe we're back talking about another theft from a church, Grainne. It's unbelievable the frequency with which we talk about these things.
Yeah, unfortunately now. And we do have CCTV footage of this, quite good CCTV footage, but just a few extra details that we're looking for in relation to it. So it's the Gardaí in Buncrana. They're investigating a theft from a donations box at the church there, St Mary's Church in Cockhill in Buncrana. So on Friday the 16th of June, shortly after 2:40pm, two men entered the chapel. They took a seat in the back pew of the chapel. One of the men then got up, he removed an item from a satchel bag that he was wearing, and he used this item to try to fish money out of a charity donations box. This box is built into the wall in the chapel. So it's unknown if any money was taken. I suppose they were unaware of how much was in the box at that time, but certainly an attempt was made to remove money from it. These two men left the area on foot. So the man who had the satchel bag, he was wearing it, you know, cross body with a strap across his body. He had dark short hair. He was wearing a light blue shirt, blue jeans and white trainers, and he was of a slim build. The man who accompanied him was of a slightly broader build. He wore a white shirt, blue jeans with quite a few rips down the legs of them. He had navy shoes with white soles and short brown hair, and he had a short beard or a schmig, in which you'd refer to stubble, you know. They were both aged in their late 40s to early 50s approximately. So we're appealing to anybody who may have seen these two men in the area of the Cockhill Road on foot, or even any at any location within Buncrana town, if anybody observed them. We're trying to establish their direction of travel and maybe to obtain any details of any possible mode of transport that they had. So if anybody had dash cam footage that travelled in that area, the Cockhill Road, around that time, it would be of great benefit to us. So we're asking anybody who can assist us in any way with this appeal to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540, or the Garda Confidential line is always 1800-666-111.
Yeah, again, really detailed information there, Grainne, so you would hope someone would be able to You'd hope someone would be able to give further information there. Right, OK, our last appeal now this morning is in relation to the theft of a vehicle in Buncrana.
Theft off a vehicle and also theft from a vehicle So the Gardaí in Buncrana are investigating this. A theft off a vehicle first. So from a yard at Umraca in Buncrana between Friday the 16th of June at 5:45 p.m. and Monday the 19th of June at 8 a.m. So the vehicle in question that was stolen is a Ford Transit bus, registration number 08DL15315. This bus had been sprayed white, but its original colour is yellow, and some of this yellow paint is still to be seen coming through on the front bumper of the bus. So this bus was actually, it was parked up and it was only being used for parts. You know, it wasn't in a roadworthy condition. It wasn't tax insured or anything like that. So it was just sitting there for parts. So a battery, they then removed a battery from another bus within the yard to get this bus going so that they could take it to the road. So that's the theft, just the battery from another bus in the yard. So we're appealing to anybody who may have come across this vehicle on the roads or parked up to notify Gardaí in Buncrana. We're hopeful somebody will have seen this bus. It's quite distinctive with the spray work, with the yellow paint coming through the white in the front bumper.
So the bus is still missing?
The bus is still missing, So anybody with information is asked to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932 0540.
Right, okay. Now, rally weekend. It was a busy weekend by all accounts.
Yeah, extremely busy weekend. We were all kept on our toes this weekend. So as usual, look, it drove massive crowds into the county and most especially into Letterkenny Town. As always, Letterkenny Town does get the bulk off the visitors to the county rally weekend. So an extensive policing operation was in place for the event. You know, the Garda helicopter was on hand. The public order units were out, you know, come evening time and night time, they were out on patrol. The traffic corps members were out on checkpoints where they were operating rolling checkpoints, speed checks. The motorcyclists were out on patrol. Regular uniform Garda members were out on the beat also and conducting patrols as well as responding to the regular calls. You know, the regular calls don't stop either. Just because it's rally weekend, we're still getting an influx of calls in relation to domestic disputes, shoplifting. You know, all the regular calls are still ongoing, even with the rally duty also. So there were arrests right across the division over the course of the weekend, but the most noticeable number was within the Letterkenny district because it did draw in the majority of the crowds. So between Friday morning, so June 16th, and Monday morning, June 19th, there were 88 arrests in total within the Letterkenny area. So I'll just give you a breakdown of the types of offences, you know, for which these arrests were made. So for assaults, there were 4 arrests, 9 arrests for the offence of drink driving, 4 arrests for drugs-related offences, 2 arrests for under the Firearms Act. That would be offences, you know, possession of an offensive weapon. So 2 arrests for that.
That could be a knife. That doesn't necessarily indicate it's a gun because obviously...
No. That could be a knife. That could be any sort of implement that could cause harm. And public order, that was the highest number of arrests, 46 arrests for public order, 1 arrest for theft offences, 14 dangerous driving arrests, 5 drug driving arrests, 2 arrests for the UT or theft of a vehicle, and 1 domestic related arrest. So 18 of these arrests occurred between Friday and Saturday. 42 of the arrests then occurred between Saturday and Sunday, and 28 of the arrests occurred between Sunday and Monday. So we would just like to thank everybody who came to Donegal at the weekend, and the vast majority of people, believe it or not, Judge, go even after telling you those numbers, but the vast majority were, you know, a pleasure.
You're looking
to
at percentage-wise, it's a minority.
It's always look, and there's a cohort of people that come into the county and come into Letterkenny every year, and they're not there to abide by the law, and they've no intention of abiding by the law, you know, and they do cause trouble, and this occurs every year, but it is only a very small minority of the people, and the majority of the people were law-abiding. We'd like to thank them for that and for their cooperation over the weekend. They were a pleasure to deal with, the most of them. And just also would like to say that a lot of the young people in the town, in Letterkenny town, I can only speak for Letterkenny, that's where I was all weekend, but a lot of property was actually handed into the station by young people over the weekend. You know, purses containing quite large amounts of money, iPhones. I heard a lady on with yourselves yesterday there in relation to an ambulance that was trying to get through town, and she was praising some of the young people for trying to flag down the traffic to let the ambulance through. So I think sometimes, you know, we're very quick to paint everybody in a bad light, but there's good amongst them also, quite a amount of good. And the majority of them were law-abiding. So were very pleased with the policing operation that was in place, how it went, and there were no major incidents recorded on or off the roads, and that's a main concern. That's, you know, that's the main thing.
But generally, obviously, in terms of police guard arrests and what have you, it's busier than your average weekend, because a few people sent messages, not into figures, but clearly that's more activity, arrest activity, than you would see in your average weekend in Letterkenny.
Most certainly. And then, I mean, you know, we only have a certain amount of cells. We have only a certain amount of members on duty, and we can only do what we can do. We're only human. And I know as well there was some issues over maybe people, there was issues over people being held up on the roads. I was held up on the road on my way to and from work, as was everybody else coming in or out of Letterkenny this weekend. But I think, to be honest, that's inevitable. When you have an influx of that, you know, thousands of cars, extra people within a town, there's nowhere to divert them to. Delays are inevitable.
Not necessarily strictly. You're not saying this. It's not, Garda are there to enforce the law, not necessarily make traffic move more smoothly. I mean, obviously they'll always play a role if they can, but I mean, we have to understand who's responsible for what. And I presume, Grania, as well, you know, there has to be a policing plan, and we will not get into it because neither you or I drew it up. But, you know, everyone can't be arrested for everything that looks like it in some way it's contravened the law. I mean, it's simply not the case. You have to make, presumably, in the moment, policing decisions.
There's
a fluidity there for all the reasons that you've outlined there. I mean, you can't lock up 4,000 people.
Of course,
you know what I mean. Nor would you want to, but you know what I mean. Like, I think we have to be somewhat realistic in that regard.
You have to, and you have to make a decision when you're there at the time. You know, and there were 88 arrests over the course of the weekend. Of course, there could possibly have been more. You know, had there been more sales, more resources, whatever. But you know, you can only do what you can do with what's there, and I can assure you that every guard on duty over the weekend was flat to the mat. Everybody did the very best that they could, you know. And I would like just to say that I think the town was packed, and it is a nuisance to the local community. I understand that. But the vast majority did go out of their way to assist. I did ask a few of them for assistance at different times over the weekend, maybe to help me with this or help me with that. They were forthcoming. They were mannerly. Now, you did have the few troublemakers. And there was a number of special sittings of the court held over the weekend. And people were brought in and out of the court as efficiently as we could, you know, over the course of the weekend as well, just to empty out the cells as well and try and keep the thing moving as best we could. But no major incidents occurred. And we're hopeful that everybody attended the rally, all got home safely as well. And we're looking forward to Rally 2024.
Good.
Yeah.
Now, I was randomly listening to BBC Radio 5 Live a few weeks ago. I haven't spoken to you since. And you might remember your ice cream cone appeal.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
okay. Yeah. Okay. And it ended up going national. Neither you got credit. I never. No one ever mentions my name. It's just like Granny as if she's walking around the street talking about it. So no mention of Greg or the 9 till noon show. Anyway, so that's fine. Yeah. But I was listening to a show then on BBC Radio 5 Live the following Saturday. They didn't even try and pronounce Donegal, but you got a mention.
Did they pronounce my name right? Because that's very rarely.
They did actually. They got your name right.
I get called Granny and every sort of thing usually. Yeah.
But, so you made it national. I don't think you said anything too fantastic.
I don't think so, no.
I think it was the ice cream turning up in the front room. But anyway, be that as it may, thankfully that spate of large objects going missing seems to have come to a conclusion.
Yeah.
And I think the business, hopefully, they got a good bit of publicity from it as well. But I think, you went international, Grania.
Yeah, well, I think they were able to make a few funny headlines out of it too. Maybe that's just why it made the headlines so much. Yeah.
I think you just could have gone a bit more heavier on it, but you're too professional, you see. But still, anyway, there was an off there. All right, Grania, listen, thank you very much indeed for your time. That's Garda Grania Doherty from the Letterkenny Garda Station. That was Community Garda Information for Tuesday, the 20th of June. It'll be available for you to listen or watch back on our Facebook page, on the Garda Shuí Chathair Facebook page, hopefully as well a little later. And it's back with you live next Tuesday. All right, thanks, Grania, again. Greg, if you turn your house upside down, everything that moves is contents. The rest is buildings. Right, okay, so I get you. I understand. Okay, but if your TV is attached to the wall and you turn your house upside down, that wouldn't fall, would it? I'm not being smart. I take your point. I know what you're saying. Thank you very much for that. Right, okay, never trust brokers to get the best deal. I wouldn't say that across the board, but I respect your view. They believe they do not check for the cheapest policy at renewal time. They get the renewal from your insurer, add their percentage and mail it out to you. Online is the only way. The chill price comparison site gives you a fantastic range of quotes, which I used and saved €650. Read the wedding thing, even though I am an atheist. I think that the groom is being very selfish. It's a big day for the bride. My niece recently got married in a chapel in Dunluce. It was a very short blessing service, not even a mass. We even got a Nick Cave song at the service. It was not elaborate, but was still a great day out. That comes in from Gerard in Ballybuffet. Gerard, thank you very much indeed for that. Right, okay. It's so busy on the phone lines. We're going to get to more and more of your comments coming in on various matters. But first, I want to say good morning to Josephine Kelly, Project Officer with Carja and Errigal. Good morning to you, friends of Errigal. Thanks very much, Josephine.
Good morning, Greg.
Thank you very much indeed. Live scenes as we speak of Mount Errigal over your right shoulder. It's a beautiful day out there.
It could be a live scene, it's a photograph. a beautiful photograph by Gareth Ray, photographer there based in Strabane. He's been very good to allow us to use some of his imagery on the website and that. So
it is, it's resplendent, isn't it? Okay, and I'll tell you, there's times of the day it's going to look like that today as well, such as the weather. Right, okay, now this is an appeal to walkers and climbers to not climb Errigal Mountain as the next phase of development works on the mountains begin. So before we get to that, what has happened up until now, Josephine? Because people may not have visited for quite some time and may not be aware of the advances.
Yeah, well, it's a very long story. The local community, the local committee there in Dunluce for many years were looking for a path on Errigal because they could see the damage that was being done to the lower areas, the bog, and it wasn't a very pleasant experience for people climbing. And as we know, Errigal is a huge attraction for the whole county. Everybody benefits in some way from Errigal, and the local community just see themselves as custodians, and they just at different meetings from the council, and in fairness, the council, the local councillors seen the importance of it as well, and the council ran out a project initially. It was an ascent project because Errigal is a special area of conservation, and you can't just go ahead and build a path without having to go through different processes and stages. And we knew we only had one opportunity to do this and to do it right. And we wanted to be sure that was done. So we went through that project called Ascent, and we got planning permission, and then the county council then got funding through the Outdoor Recreation Fund to construct a path on the mountain. So work started there last May. And the initial stage was done from the car park up to the call between Errigal and Macrorth. So that's an aggregate path. And then the second phase began when they did the pitch path steps on the steeper slopes from kind of what we call the cairn up to the summit. And that was basically to stop the erosion that had taken place on the mountain over the last 20 years, from footfall, and then the footfall opens it up, and then the weather then kind of creates another layer of issues. So it was to stop that. So that has been a great success. That you can climb to the top of Errigal now with providing you have the decent shoes very easily. It's very achievable for most people to do. But we noticed then that there was a middle section which we initially thought was quite robust and wouldn't need that much work. But it was an area that hadn't really been used much up until the lower section had been changed. And then just over the summer last year in the winter, we just noticed that it was getting quite trampled and there was quite a lot of damage being done. So the contractors are coming back now. Starting today, they should be in place this morning, getting their work area set up. And they're going to work on that middle section and also a little bit of repairs to the lower and the upper sections as well.
All right. So when does the sort of hopeful suspension of climbing and walking happen then to facilitate these works?
Well, the helicopter's booked in from the 5th to the 7th of July. So just for health and safety, we're just kind of appealing to people not to climb the mountain on those days because the helicopter is going to be flying overhead with a skip bucket full of material, and that will hopefully go on for 3 days, weather permitting. So just ask people just to keep an eye on the social media page and on the ericalmountain.com page just in case that changes, because if the weather's going to change, then we have to change with it. And as it really is for health and safety, we're asking people not to climb the mountain because the rest of the mountain now is recovering well. For having no footfall on it over the last year. So what we don't want is heavy footfall on the areas that are recovering really well at the minute. So,
and pardon,
you know, it's only 23 days we're asking for people to stay away.
So pardon my ignorance, I haven't done it. Has the route slightly been changed with this work that's ongoing? Is it to move traffic away from where it was previously to allow it to recover? So how much has it changed? Is it significant?
Well, the area, what was happening was that the bog was so wet and mucky that people were taking different routes to the summit. And the area that they were using was nearly at one stage about half a kilometre wide, people just taking different routes. And the most common route would have been that they would cross the river at the car park and made their way up through the bog there. But other people then were using the right-hand side of the stream and using that route because it was more solid underfoot and it had been damaged as well. But we got a path specialist over from Scotland that surveyed the area. And it was he came to the conclusion that we were better using the stream side route that people had been using. It would be slightly longer than the initial route up through the bog, but you will find that it's actually quicker because, you know, it's because you have the path, you know, you make much quicker time. And it's diverting people away from an area that was really badly scarred. On the face of Errigal, and we're hoping that we will eventually get some work done to repair that as well.
All right, caller wants to know, is there any plans for toilets at the bottom of Errigal?
Unfortunately, no. It's an area, a special area of conservation, and toilets will not be...
But it's not even that. You see, the thing with toilets as well is if you provide them, they have to be maintained. So it's easy to drop a couple of toilets on. Or even and build them, but then there's an, you know, there's a... Go ahead, sorry, Josephine.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dunleavy Village is only, it's only 10 minutes down the road. And what we would like for people to do is to come in and visit the village and to use the facilities there and come in and chat, you know, to the local community and that as well. They're very welcoming. We have the local pub there, McGiddy's, the local shop, Roti's, and in Inakushlaha, hopefully is opening by the end of the month or early next month, and that facility will be there. So it's only 10 minutes, not even that, for people to come on into the village.
All right, so the schedule, the works are planned, and obviously it's weather permitting because a helicopter is being involved, but we're in the summer, so you'd hope for settled weather. You're asked to refrain from climbing or walking the mountain over the 3 days, July 5th to 7th, inclusive, but keep an eye out on Errigal.ie. Is that correct?
No, Errigalmountain.com.
Errigalmountain.com, sorry. Couldn't have been further out. Errigalmountain.com, just in case those days slip. But you'll get in contact with us and we'll help too, Josephine, in getting that message out if need be. Thanks very much for your time. Enjoy the rest of your day. When was the last time you climbed Errigal? Or can you climb Errigal? I don't know. Is it maybe... Do you climb Errigal ever, Josephine?
You're asking me? Yeah, I was up about a week ago.
Okay, very good.
Fair play to you.
Thank you so very much indeed. All right, Josephine Kelly there, project manager with Carja and Errigal, Friends of Errigal. What are those dates? 5th, 6th, 7th. A lot of people climb Errigal now, don't they, to get up there for, is it sunset or sunrise? It's something I should do, isn't it? Should I? Maybe we should do a show from the top of Errigal. When's that helicopter going up? I'll get the skip and they can drop me off. Has anyone ever broadcast a show from the top? Imagine getting guests up. Imagine getting Caroline up. No problem to her. She'd be better climbing than... Oh, you climb it all the time? Really? When was the last time you climbed it, Caroline? Last summer, okay, right. So it's up to me then to do it, isn't it? Okay. So unfortunately, no, to answer that listener's question, no plans for toilets as of yet. All right, we've seen an awful lot of thunder and indeed lightning over the last wee while. And if you're watching the show, by the way, you'll see some footage of the damage caused to a house, the internals of a house. It's on our YouTube channel live right now, Highland Radio Ireland, or across our Facebook pages. And it is the inside of Geraldine McGeever's home. Hi, Geraldine.
Good morning, Fred. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
How are you keeping, Geraldine?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Okay. I was shocked with the thunder and lightning and scared the living daylight out of us up here this morning.
Right, so tell us how events unfolded then. So we had the thunder and lightning storm and there were those streaks of lightning. What happened in your home?
Well, there was me, my husband and my son here. I was down doing something in the room. My son and his, well, in his own room. My husband, Paddy, was up here. in front of the television. I think he was watching some sports or something. But all the other TVs in the house were down in the rooms, obviously, but they were on as well. There was only one TV wasn't on. It wasn't hit. But the main TV in the living room here where my husband was sitting on his own, all behind the TV are all the connections there for the internet. You know, that's where the wires and the lines come in. Obviously, there's plug sockets there. The line coming in for the phone connection to the internet there as well. I had an alarm system for me as an alarm button aware at home in case anything happens, obviously.
Yeah.
A panic button. It comes in there as well. And I heard a bang, a massive bang. I thought something happened or a bell. I came up in the past. My husband just went out to the living room with his two hands in his ears. I don't know what happened. My son was there and then he just was there. And I said, what's wrong? What happened? And my son leaned says, the lightning came in, struck behind the TV. There was a merciful bang. It was so loud. And he went in behind the TV and I looked in. He said, it has blown all the plugs off the wall. It blew the connections for the phone line. Everything was blown out of the wall. Everything. I'm sure I sent the video because my son videoed it.
Yeah, we're looking at it here, and it even made it blew the plug off the wall, and it even sort of some of the components, it broke them up to the point that the inside of the electrical components are scattered across the floor.
Yeah, yeah. Everything was kind of smashed. And that's what happened to my husband. He was sitting in front of it. And some of the smaller pieces actually blew out behind him, past the space.
Wow.
You know, he was very lucky. Most of the plugs, and, you know, there was a smell of burning as well.
Yeah.
And some of the components we discovered lately had scorch marks, you know, on them that were on the ground.
Yeah, you can see a couple of plugs. You can see a couple of plugs. They're blackened, aren't they? So they've really took a surge of electricity. Did the TV break or is it working again or what?
No, the TV isn't working.
It isn't?
At all.
Wow.
And I don't know. There are other TVs, smart TVs in the house, and they aren't working either. The only TV that wasn't hit and it is working isn't a smart TV and wasn't on.
Right, okay. Maybe that's down to the internet. Is your internet off as well?
Yeah, it was. It's back up now and going again. But it was very frightening.
100%.
You know, and you scared me because the only time I remember something happened like that, I was quite young, maybe in the early teens, and down the old town where I was from, an elderly couple lived down there. I remember hearing about it at the time. The elderly man was watching TV and his wife was about the house, doing her housework. And it came down their chimney through the aerial, in through the TV, came out from the TV and hit the elderly man.
Right.
And he died.
Okay, right. So,
do you remember? I remember that. It struck him through the TV. So that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, God, you know, that could have happened to my husband.
And come here to ask you, Geraldine, any damage to the externals of the house?
No. We looked around everywhere else. I must have just hit the aerial.
Yeah.
The TV aerial, you know, on the roof.
Remarkable.
And came down through the wires, through the, you know, the connections there.
All right, it goes to show the power.
The reason... Sorry?
I says it goes to show the power. You're going to say the reason...
The reason really that, you know, I sent it into Caroline and that was just to find out anybody else, because it was a bad thunderstorm. There was a warning and all of it. And the reason I was wondering, anybody else, do you have any experience similar? Did it come into their house or did they have any similar experience to what I had, you know.
Right. Well, we'll throw it out there, Geraldine. Listen, I know it was a great shock, but I'm glad the family's safe and your husband's okay. We'll throw it out there. Did anyone else have their house struck? And what impact did it have? Okay, thanks, Geraldine. Have a lovely day. And thankfully, everyone is okay there, Geraldine. So if you've had a similar experience, 086 60 25,000. I have a recollection when I was younger of lightning striking our house, the top of the... And there was a black mark on it. But then again, you see, I'm afraid I'm misremembering. But striking the draining board of the sink... from my recollection is there was a black mark on the window and a black mark on the draining board, but the window wasn't broken. Is that even possible? But I really have a very strong recollection of that. But, you know, with time...